You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
My word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of Jesus. Praise God. We are here another Saturday to bring forth the Word of God. The Word is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And we believe and we know that the Word is doing its work as it goes over the radio waves. So we are giving God thanks for this opportunity and giving God thanks for this medium to bring forth the Word of truth. So we are going to continue in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Last week, we stopped at verse 11, and we are going to go into verse 12. But before we start, let us pray. Father, we thank you again for this evening. We thank you for your great love towards us. Your word said that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. Thank you, O God Almighty, that you were in Christ reconciling the world unto yourself. And thank you, O God Almighty, Lord, that you were always considering us and are always considering us and will always consider us. What a mighty God you are to us. You are our Abba Father. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who lives with us and in us and who bears witness with us that we belong to you. So we thank you again for this opportunity to bring forth your word. Thank you again for your people who will be listening this evening. Almighty God, I pray that these words, O God, will find that good soil in their hearts. O God, we pray that it will germinate and bring forth fruits of righteousness. Father God, I pray that your kingdom will come in their hearts, mighty God. O great God, for your word tells us that your kingdom, O God Almighty, is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. So we pray right now, mighty God, that you will just minister to us this evening as we continue, O God, in the epistle of Peter. And O God, as we look to you by faith in no other name but the name of Jesus, bring forth heart knowledge to us so that we will be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. For you are worthy, Jesus. There is none like you. All praise and dominion belong to you, Almighty God, forever and ever, O God. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. Last week we ended at verse 11 of 1 Peter chapter 4. And we remember what verse 11 said. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let him speak as God's mouthpiece. Let him speak as God gives utterance. Let him speak the divine utterance of God. If any man serve, let him serve with the God-given ability. Serve well, serve with excellence. Do whatever we are doing as unto the Lord and not unto men. Do it unto Christ, bringing glory and honor to the name of Jesus Christ. Our desire, our aim, our purpose should be to honor our King in whatever we do. Praise God. We're going on to verse 12 of 1 Peter chapter 4. It said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange things happened unto you." So Peter was encouraging the brethren at this time, reminding them that these fiery trials that are coming upon them, don't think this is strange. This is nothing strange for the Christians. People of God, we have to gear up our minds with the right mindset, knowing that as Christ's followers, we are called to suffer. For the word said, if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. I want to share in his suffering. That's what Paul said. And being made what? Conformable to his death, identifying with his death, dying to self and living for Christ. So people of God, Peter was just reminding the brethren here and reminding us today that don't think it is strange when fiery trials come. Intense persecution will come. So Peter spoke to these saints with such love and tenderness. He called them beloved. He was telling them not to think of what was happening to them as strange. All the intense trials and persecution that they have to go through is promised to all believers. All Christians will go through some form of trial, some form of testing, some form of tribulation, some form of persecution. All of God's people who are committed to Christ Jesus wholeheartedly. If we're committed to Christ wholeheartedly, we are going to be persecuted, the word tells us. All those that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So people of God, let us have that mind, the mind of Christ, to humble ourselves, serve, and to know that we are going to suffer for Christ's sake. This is nothing strange for the believers of Christ. This shouldn't be strange for any one of us, people of God, that we are going to suffer for the cause of Christ. So let us have the right mindset. So Peter was saying to them, don't think it is strange concerning the fiery trial that is going to come upon you. He described that trial as fiery. It is intense. It is not easy to go through. But what? God's people, we are not alone. We are not alone. The Holy Spirit is with us to see us through and to take us through all these fiery trials. People of God, we have to remember that just as how those great men and women of old suffered and came through victorious, we also have to have that same mind to suffer for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 4. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. Rejoice that you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Rejoice that you are partakers of Christ's suffering. So Peter was reminding the brethren to rejoice. Rejoice. Jesus said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So Peter said, rejoice, be joyful, be happy to know that you are sharing in Christ's suffering. When he shall return in his glory, you will have exceeding joy. You will not be ashamed of him at his coming. You will not be ashamed when he comes because you didn't do what you were supposed to do, but because you have endured hardship, because you rejoice in suffering, because you suffer for the cause of Christ. When he comes in his glory, you will be exceedingly joyful because you know that you have endured and that you have pleased your master. You know that you will hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. So we have to come to that place of knowing that we are called to suffer with him, and we will also reign with him. When if we refer to Romans 8:17, he said, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. The word says it. So we have to have that right mind, that mindset, to know that we're going to suffer with him. We are joint heirs with him. That's a good thing to say. Many times we are saying, oh, we are joint heirs with Christ. But the joint heirs with Christ means that we also will suffer with him. And when we suffer with him, the word said we will be glorified together. And the word of God tells us that when he comes, we will see him as he is, and we will be like him. We also will share in his glory, people of God. He will honor us for all that we have done, for all that we have endured. He will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. So let us gear up our minds to suffer for the cause of Christ. Let us be willing to endure hardship as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Endure to the end. Endure the fiery trials. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, people of God, because Christ has overcome. And because he has overcome, we are more than overcomers through him. So let us be people who are rejoicing. Rejoice. Rejoice that we are partakers of Christ's suffering. Verse 14 of 1 Peter chapter 4. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. So Peter was saying that if we are blamed or if we are treated badly for following Christ, then we should rejoice, because the spirit of glory and of God is resting upon us. His spirit is working through us. The Holy Spirit is working through us, keeping us on the right track, so we bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus. So we are going to be treated badly many times for doing what is right. We are going to be treated badly because we are not a part of the crowd that is going the wrong direction. We are walking on the straight and narrow, bringing glory and honor to the name of Jesus. So Peter was saying, when you are being blamed and when you are treated badly for the cause of Christ, then we should rejoice, because the spirit of glory of God is resting upon us. His Holy Spirit is resting upon us. He is evil spoken of on their part, but Christ's name is glorified in our lives. So the unsaved, the ungodly will speak evil of what we are doing and speak evil of the name of Jesus. But Christ's name is being glorified in our lives, people of God. Let us constantly do what is right. Let us constantly stand and stand for the truth. Let us walk in truth, walk in holiness, walk by faith, trusting Jesus, knowing that he will come through for us no matter what. The spirit of grace is resting upon us. His Holy Spirit is with us, and he promised in his word that he will never leave nor forsake us. He will be with us always to the end. So no matter how badly we are treated, let us know that it is not us that they hate. It is Christ in us, and people of God, Christ in us, the hope of glory. So let us go forth with a triumphant heart, knowing that we are already victorious through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Verse 15, 1 Peter chapter 4. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. So Peter was saying, suffer the right way. Don't suffer for anything, any wrongdoing. So don't let none of you suffer as a murderer. A murderer, killing someone. But this doesn't have to be even physical murder. You might be a slanderer. You're killing someone. You might hate your brother to the point where you slander them. You're killing someone right there. You're a murderer. Or as a thief, you're taking what is not yours. Somewhere or the other, you are a thief. So don't suffer as an evildoer. Suffer when you do the right thing. Do the right thing and suffer for that. That bring honor to Jesus. But Peter said, let none of you, he was warning the believers, let none of you suffer as a murderer, committing physical murder or murdering someone because you hate them so much, you slander them. Or as a thief, don't take what is not yours. Or as an evildoer, don't do evil things, but do what is right in the sight of God. Or as a busybody in other men's matter, don't be a meddler in other people's business. Stop meddling. So Peter was saying, Let none of you be doing any of these evil things in the sight of God, but continue to do what is right. Continue to do what is honorable in the sight of God. Continue to do good for the cause of Christ. Let they speak evil of you for your good. You're doing good and they're speaking evil of you. That's fine. But don't suffer as an evildoer. Don't be doing evil things and expect to hear good. No. So let none of this be seen or be done among you. So Peter was just warning the brethren, and he's warning us today also. Let us not suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Let us not be meddling in other people's business. Take care of your own business and leave other people's business alone. So God is just reminding us through his word today. It's the word of God, people of God. It is the word of God showing us how to live this Christian life, live in holiness, live in righteousness and truth. Verse 16 of 1 Peter chapter 4. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. People of God, if we suffer for the cause of Christ, let us not be ashamed. The word of God tells us that we shouldn't be ashamed because we are suffering for the cause of Christ. But let him glorify God on this behalf. Let us give God the glory in this matter. People of God, let us rejoice and be exceeding glad when we suffer for the cause of Christ. If we suffer for the cause of Christ, people of God, this is not something to be ashamed of. The Lord our God is our shield, and he is the lift of our heads. So lift your head up high and know that God will vindicate you. So let us not go around with our heads hanging down because they are persecuting us, because we are doing the right thing. Peter said, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. This is not something for us to be ashamed of. But let him glorify God on this behalf. God will get the glory in this matter, people of God. God's name will be glorified. Jesus' name will be exalted in our lives because we are doing what is right. If we are doing what is right, we cannot be wrong. So we have to understand this, people of God, so we don't allow the pressures of this life to cause us to do what is wrong. We won't be pressured into doing what is wrong, but we will continue to do what is right because we are depending upon the Holy Spirit to see us through. We are depending upon the Holy Spirit to live with us and walk with us and guide us into all truth. He is the one who is there to teach us God's ways and to bring to our remembrance the word that Christ wants us to have at hand to fight with. So we have to remember that the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. The word of God will give us illumination. So the word is telling us that when we suffer for the sake of Christ, let us not be ashamed, but let us glorify God on this behalf. And people of God, we can refer to Acts 5, 40 through 41 and see how the disciples, the apostles of old, how they responded to persecution. So we're going to read Acts 5, 40 through 41. The word of God said, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So the apostles were arrested and beaten, brought before the religious council, and they were beaten and they were told not to speak in Jesus' name anymore. And these people were so much against Jesus after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended on high, and his followers were continuing to preach in the name of Jesus. They were saying, we are forbidding you for speaking in the name of Jesus. Don't speak in the name of Jesus anymore. But look at the response of the apostles in verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Oh, people of God, we have to understand this, that the disciples of old, they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus Christ. People of God, we have to understand these things, that we are called to suffer for Christ, for the cause of Christ. We are called to bear hardship, to go through hardship. We will suffer persecution. The disciples of old, they responded well to persecution. After that beating that they got, that must have been some intense beating that they got, they were rejoicing instead of crying and saying, I can't do it no more. They were rejoicing, the word of God said. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. People of God, we also need to rejoice when we go through hardship, when we are persecuted, when many will say all manner of evil against us falsely for his name's sake. Let us rejoice and be exceeding glad, and let us be like the apostles of old who counted it worthy to suffer shame for his name. So we want to be in that mindset, that frame of mind, where we are willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. And if we suffer with him, the word of God says we will reign with him. Verse 17 of 1 Peter chapter 4. For the time is come when judgment must begin at the house of God. Judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? That was a question Peter was asking. But he was saying the time has come when judgment, trials must begin with God's people. People of God, it is the word of God that says it. Trials must begin with God's people. So we have to have that mind to know that we are going to be tried. We are going to be tested. We are going to be tempted. We are going to be persecuted. We are going to grow through rough times, Church of God. But have the mind of Christ. Gear up our minds to suffer. He came to suffer. He came as a suffering servant. He came to die. He came to suffer and die for us. He took our place at the cross. If we understand that, we have to know that if we are going to share in his glory, we also must suffer. Suffer for the cause of Christ. People of God, is not us they hate. It is Christ in us. The world hates Christ. The world hates Jesus. And as Jesus' followers, we will be hated. We will be persecuted. They will pick on us. Somebody might be saying, why are they picking on me? They will pick on you because you are a child of God and the mark of Christ is on you. Don't you know that the world can notice the mark on you? The mark of Christ is on you. Your life is different from theirs. They hate you without a cause. They hated Christ without a cause. They will hate you also. And the word is saying the time is come when judgment must begin at the house of God. We are being tried. But how do we respond in trials, people of God? That is how we will have a favorable outcome according to our response to the trials. So we have to understand that these things are going to come to us. And when we understand that these things are going to come to us, we're going to fortify our minds with the word of God so that when trials come, we will know, we'll rejoice like the apostles of old and count it worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. So the word of God says, the time is come when judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Trials must begin with God's people. And if it starts with us first, people of God, what shall become of them that chose not to obey the gospel of God? People of God, this is serious. If we as God's children have to go through trials on this earth, what you think going to happen to those that obey not the gospel of God? The word of God tells us that the wrath of God is coming on the children of disobedience. The wrath of God is coming. God is going to try those that have heard the word of God and refuse to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. Peter asks the question, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ? What shall the end be? People of God, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. In John 3:16, the word tells us, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17 of John 3 said that, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The word of God said in verse 18 of John 3, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So Peter asks the question, those who do not obey the gospel of God, what will their end be? What will their end be? But the wrath of God, the word of God tells us, is coming upon the children of disobedience. And those that have not decided to put their trust in Jesus, they are already condemned. They condemn themselves. The word of God tells us in verse 19 of John 3. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. So men chose not to believe the good news. Men chose to go their own ways and to do their own thing. But it's a reminder to us today that the wrath of God is coming upon the children of disobedience. Verse 18 of 1 Peter chapter 4. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? People of God, if those that have been declared righteous by putting their faith in Christ barely make it in, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? That's a question Peter asks. And it's for us to ask that question also. The word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:15 that many will be saved. They will be saved, but their works will be burnt up. They will escape, barely make it in, but their works will be burnt up because they were not doing it unto God. Verse 19 of 1 Peter chapter 4. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. So let us know that we are going to suffer in this world, but let us commit the keeping of our souls to God as our faithful creator. He is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before God. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much for listening this evening. We have come to the end of 1 Peter chapter 4. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word to your people this evening. May you continue, O God, Almighty Lord, to be glorified in whatever we say or do. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. Amen.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.